Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's Friday. Can we say TGIF? Do you remember those days? Thank God it's Friday. Well, my goodness, I am thankful for today. And as you are every day, we're going to give thanks to the Lord anyways, because at the end of the day, regardless of what we talk about today, at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's waiting for his enemies to become a footstool for his feet, and he is good, and he loves you, and he loves me, and he loves every person on this earth to the degree he gave his life for every person. And every person can come through him back to the Father and find eternal life. I, for one, thank God for eternal life. I am so thankful that this experience is not just about here and now. I am so thankful that beyond this moment, because of my faith that God gave me to put in his Son, that he's going to carry me into eternity. And that means no more, you know, just no more flesh, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more worry, no more struggle, no more striving, no more trouble. I'm serious. And to forfeit that for a momentary pot of beans is just not worth it. Would you agree, Esau? Right? Remember the Jacob and Esau story? Esau sought for repentance with tears and couldn't find it. Is there anything in our lives that represents a pot of beans that we would sell our birthright and our eternal inheritance? God forbid. God forbid. You know, I want to get some things out because I'm about to unload something here and just release it. And I have to admit that I feel a little bit troubled by doing it. I have to admit that I'm troubled about a number of things in my heart today. Number one, I'm noticing people around me outside. You know, the camp is doing fabulous. The saints of God at New Wine Ministries are doing fabulous. But when we go out there, and you know, we all have our lives. One of the things I love to do is for my exercise to keep me sober and mentally focused. I love to play tennis. I've been an athlete my entire life. I've been playing sports since I was a little boy. And so it's one of the releases I get out there and just unwind. I don't like going to gyms. I don't like hearing the music. I don't like all the mirrors and the pumping of weights. And I just don't like it. I'd rather be out on a tennis court sweating. And I hadn't been out for about 3 weeks. So last night I made a decision to go out and play tennis with these guys. And unfortunately, I missed a Bible study because of it. And I'm feeling a little bit bad about that, just a little bit, you know, but I know Patricia handled it really well. But I just needed something to release. But I go out there and these guys that work for Walmart, these are big Walmart executive type guys, and they're good guys. And, you know, I pray for them all the time. They know who I am. They know I'm a pastor. They know all this. And these two best friends got into this terrible argument. You know, they wound up quitting. And I was watching what was going on thinking, wow, these guys are really, you know, there's trouble in the atmosphere, you know, and I just see relationships being challenged. And I'm not saying that happened because of, you know, the day we're living in. But not only that, while I was walking off, I met two guys I play a lot of singles with. I haven't played with them for a few months. They're terrified of COVID-19. When they walked on the court as we were leaving, I started to move in the direction and, you know, they put the fist pump up or the elbow pump and everybody kept their distance. And I noted that they were just totally into this whole thing. They actually carry their own can of balls so they don't touch each other's tennis balls, right? And they would hit them and it was all social distance, no talking, you know, getting close. So I wound up saying, you know what, we're going to have this discussion. And I told them about a woman we know in California that was just quote unquote diagnosed with COVID-19, a very dear woman, by the way, woman we've known for over 30 some odd years, Patricia and I, who is a saint of God Almighty, but is going through the fire right now. Well, she was diagnosed with COVID-19, but there were zero symptoms. So I talked to my friends about that, and they are very much involved in the medical field, especially one gentleman. And so I'm talking with them and they said, oh yeah, those are the worst kind, the asymptomatic. And I said, asymptomatic? He said, yeah, they diagnosed her with COVID-19. And I said, yeah, but there were no symptoms. And they said, well, that's right. That's asymptomatic. I said, well, how do you know you don't have it? Maybe you're asymptomatic. They said, that's right. Maybe we're all symptomatic. And I said, man, you guys are playing to the fear. And what happened in my heart is I noted that, you know, the contest was coming. And rather than backing down, I went for it. And I really went for it. And I talked about some things and, you know, that I could just see that coming. At the end of the day, I just said, listen, I'm not following Donald Trump. I'm not following any man. I'm following Jesus Christ. I love you both. God bless you and good night. And I walked away. And so, you know, that was a little bit unpleasant. But again, I noticed people in fear. They are in such fear and they consider me to be ridiculous because I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not social distancing. And, you know, all of these things. And I knew, God warned me, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you, right? So that is something we're going to learn as we go, not to cast our pearls before swine. Don't say to the dogs, and I hate to refer to my friends this way, but don't say to the dogs, you know, we believe in Psalm 91. We believe in protection. Don't say that, because they take that, ridicule that, mock that, turn it on you, and before you know it, it's a really bad deal. But today is also another kind of a burden. It was 40 days ago today that I was on a AM/FM radio station. I said, listen, mark your calendar 40 days from today. And it was today, the 24th. And I said, just watch it. And I said, let's see what happens on this 24th day. And so I'm kind of in this realm of wonderment right now. Okay, here's the 40th day. Is there going to be some kind of an event? I noticed in Portland, I know there's a lot of violence still going on. I know they took down a statue, I believe, in Chicago. The escalation with China, refusing to do something with the United States. So I'm watching escalation, but I was really thinking that perhaps today, you know, I'm going to just keep watching a little bit more. So I'm carrying that little thing. But also, the word that I want to share today, I don't want to, I just kind of sit here and think, man, just be so careful with what you're going to say. So what I want to do is I want to just walk through scripture for a moment, because I want to get my focus, your focus, my attention, your attention on the word of God. And I'm just noticing such a change all around. So here we go. I want to begin with a very familiar passage of scripture, and that is in Matthew 24, verse 6, okay? So here's what we're going to read in Matthew 24, verse 6. You've heard it, but I thought, okay, let's just get all these out there. And in Matthew 24, verse 6, Jesus said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In Mark 13:7, Jesus said the same thing, but a little different. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. And then in Luke chapter 21, verse 9, Jesus said it this way. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So not yet, not by and by, wars, rumors of wars. This is the warning that prophet Jesus, Son of God Jesus, Messiah Yeshua, this is his warning. And connected to each one of those verses are passages that follow through. You know that as well as I do. But we are hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and we are hearing of commotions. And again, that word commotion is the akastasia, and that word literally means, and I believe it gets into the realm of just trouble, it literally means disorder, instability, commotion, confusion, tumult. So when I look out and I see on the news what's going on in Albuquerque and Chicago and New York and Seattle and Portland and, you know, just throughout the country, I see tumult, confusion, disorder, instability. So again, this is what Jesus said would be as a sign in the last days, but the end is not yet. And I agree, the end is not yet. These are the beginning of sorrows that we are living in. These are the days that are showing people on the earth. These are signs. They're not isolated. They're not just in one place over there at a certain time. They're global. They're happening at the same time from Venezuela, South America, into Europe, into Africa. There is turmoil all over the earth. You may have heard that the Ethiopians, I believe, are building a dam to stop the water supply into Egypt, which the only water supply they have in Egypt is the Nile River. And there is a dam being built, and there's a gentleman from Egypt that's crying out to America and the world saying, please, don't let them dam up the Nile River, because they get rain 5 days out of the year. It's not enough water to supply them. So imagine water supply impacts, turmoil, confusion, chaos, instability in our own country and everywhere else around the world. Wars, rumors of wars, China, Russia, North Korea, the United States, Islam. I mean, it's all there. There's no doubt about that. But then I wanted to move on into something else. And again, like I said, there's a lot more to that. But I also want to read in verse 37, or let's go to verse 36 of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, I wanted to make this very clear today. God put it in my heart, laying the groundwork for the prophetic word we're going to release here. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, said Jesus. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So the coming of the Lord is equated to a people entering into an ark, and the coming of the Lord was the coming of his judgment. Okay? It was the coming of his judgment. You go back to Revelation chapter 6, and the very first or the very last passage you see out there is that the world rulers are witnessing the Lamb of God and his wrath, and which is the beginning of the day of his wrath, pushing things into the realm of judgment like the days of Noah. Now, again, here's the point. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, the coming of his judgment, the coming of his wrath, the Son of Man's wrath. We're not talking about God's wrath in Revelation 16. There's the wrath of man, there's the wrath of the Lamb, there's the wrath of the dragon, and there's the wrath of God. They all play a very particular role in Bible prophecy. So, he goes on in this scenario. Let me go a little bit further, and let's take a look at what it says in Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, it's basically the same thing in verse 26. Luke 17, 26. Jesus said, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Okay? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay? So, in Mark, I believe it says they were buying, they were selling, they were building, they were planting. In other words, what Jesus is telling us is that there's going to be a sign before the coming of the wrath of the Lamb, which you find in Revelation chapter 6. Okay, and this is critical to our understanding. Prior to that, all these signs are going to be there. And then the world condition is going to be business as usual, in spite of the signs, the wars, the rumors of wars, all the different things Jesus talked about, earthquakes, pestilence, famine, okay, deception. It's everywhere around the world, but the world doesn't see it, and many people in the church don't see it. So everybody's doing their thing, buying, selling, building, planting, marrying, giving in marriage, all that stuff. The world's going on just as usual. But then we see it likened unto the days of the flood. Okay, that's the judgment that we're talking about. Now, having said that, I want to cruise over to Ezekiel chapter 21. Yesterday, when Pastor Dave was with us on the air and he was talking, I gave a lot of space just for him because he's getting ready to do some work up there, and the Holy Spirit said, just let him go. So as I did and I was listening very carefully, Holy Spirit began to download in me, because we've been saying for quite some time that the third wave is going to come. It's already out at sea. The first wave is passing. The second wave is still here. Anarchy, civil disobedience. We called that the second wave. And it's true. And it's still here. Right behind it, as Brother Michael said, right behind the second wave, the third wave is already forming. We're seeing that the third wave is going to be the sword of war. And all of a sudden yesterday, while Pastor Dave was talking, I remembered a scripture downloaded in my mind, Ezekiel 21. And yesterday, when I was starting to read the first few verses, the prophetic unction in my spirit was very different. And it wasn't just giving information. It was a declaration. It was a declaration. And so in deep caution, here is the prophetic word of the Lord. I'm just going to just tap into what happened yesterday, because it was very pure. It was very innocent. It was very anointed, but it was very absolute. So here it is. You be the judge. This is the declaration, Ezekiel 21, and I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read most of the chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem. And in my understanding, this is, in today's vernacular, the Lord saying, set your face towards Washington, D.C., the capital of Israel. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Washington is the capital of the United States of America. Set your face toward Washington, D.C. Drop your word toward the holy places. I would imagine those would be the churches, and prophesy against the land of Israel. So God's telling Ezekiel, prophesy. Let the words of your mouth that are God's words, let them drop. Let your words drop toward the holy places. Let your words go forth. Prophesy against, not prophesy for, prophesy against the land of Israel. And now I want to just take a look at the word to prophesy. It's the naba in the Hebrew. And the word naba means to speak or sing, by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse. Okay, that's what it means. Speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction, or simple discourse. That's what he told prophet Ezekiel to do. And then we're going to move on to verse 3, Ezekiel 21, verse 3. Say to the land, so God is telling him, speak, say to the land of Israel, say to the United States of America, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you. You know, I was standing at the very gate of the White House in Washington, D.C., when Barack Hussein Obama was the president of the United States of America. I was standing there with three other men. They were very prophetic, and we were all in Washington, D.C. This is quite some time ago. Well, Barack was the guy. And I remember we were standing at the gate that the other side is the White House, and began to speak. And we began to rebuke what was in the White House. We began to rebuke the spirit that was there. You know, Barack Hussein Obama, he was a radical Islamic Muslim, and he was also very much involved in the communistic agenda. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's making that up. We're not just pointing fingers. He did light up the White House with the rainbow colors and all that stuff, and we were there before that ever happened. So we were prophesying, and some guy walked by, and he was I remember him kind of being a tall white guy, younger guy, and he says, if God be for us, who could be against us? And I looked, and I said, how could God be for a nation that is slaughtering innocent blood, promoting what is evil, abominable things contrary to the mind of God? How does that work for you? How is God for a nation and a nation's government, the capital over there, that is against him? How does that work? It was left alone. But here it says again, say to the land of America, thus saith the Lord, and I'm going to say it right now. This is what I believe the word of God is to America. I am against you. I'm against you. And of course God would be against America today. Look at us. Look at us. A divided church. Come on. 35. I used to think it was 100. They're now telling me there are 35,000 offshoots of churches. Come on. A divided congregation of believers. Thank God for the cross, because that's where we truly gather together. But why wouldn't God be against a nation that promotes blasphemy out of Hollywood, or promotes pornography all over the world, as you heard yesterday, and all over the country where little kids are watching it on their iPhones? Why wouldn't God be against a nation that slaughtered 90 million innocent babies in the womb and spent taxpayer dollars to expand to the nations of the earth over 500 million little lives in the womb being murdered, and then the governors of New York calling for full-term abortion? Why wouldn't God be against the people that light up the White House where men marry men and women marry women, when he called it an abomination? Why wouldn't he? When men in the church are committing homosexual acts and fornicating and watching pornography and committing adultery, when women are sleeping around committing adultery and fornicating, and people are watching the garbage on TV and are just kind of, you know, why wouldn't God be against us, is my question. So I think this is very validated, where God's telling Ezekiel to speak to the land. And I believe that all what's happening right now is Ezekiel is speaking to America. If he were here today with prophet Jeremiah, with prophet Isaiah, I believe prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel would have something to say to the United States of America, a Judeo-Christian nation in its present condition. I believe they'd have something to say. And so we have to let them speak. This is their words. This is God's word that never changes. The Apostle Paul, remember what he said in Corinthians? Listen to what the prophet said. Watch what they did back there and how God dealt with them, because he's going to do the same thing. Even though covenants have changed, God's still going to deal with sins, whether they be personal or national. So tell them I'm against them. I'm telling you, God is against the United States of America in its present form, because of its rebellion, because of its revolting heart. And so God says, and I will draw forth my sword. I'm in verse 3. I am against you and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Now, what does that mean? God's going to cut off the righteous and the wicked. Well, you go back to the book of Revelation, and the righteous, the majority of them are going into the great tribulation, Revelation chapter 7. So how many times have righteous people died in a 9/11 event, or during the Inquisitions, or during the Crusades, or during the Bolshevik or Ukrainian revolutions, or during World War I or World War II? Do you remember in World War II the medical reports of people that were in Germany that had blood pouring out of their vessel, out of their foreheads, because of the terror and the fear that they had because of the bombs that were dropping all around them? You remember the bombs, right? In the story of World War II, when they were just decimating. The medical reports is that blood was coming out of them, like Yeshua when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to sweat, as it were, droplets of blood. It was because of the intense pressure that was coming upon his soul. Well, here, God is saying, I'm going to unsheathe my sword. I'm unsheathing it. Third wave. It's coming. I'm going to draw forth my sword out of his sheath and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. From who? Jerusalem, Washington, D.C., Israel, the United States. The events that are coming are going to bring mass casualty and death by the sword that is being unsheathed. That's the word of the Lord. Verse 4, seeing then that I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. Very interesting. Is there some direction there from the south, the southern border, to the northern border? Where's it going to work? How's it going to work? It's the sword. This is not with pestilence. Okay? This is the sword of war. Now, what I'd like to do is look at the word sword, where God's talking about my sword. The word sword is the cherub or the carib, okay, however you want to say it. And what it means, this is interesting. The word sword means drought. Also, a cutting instrument from its destructive effect, as a knife, a sword, or other sharp implement, an axe, a dagger, a matlock. That's the word sword in the Hebrew. The carib. So, this is a powerful weapon that's going to be employed, and it's going to be unsheathed. Okay? So, let's get back to verse 5, Ezekiel 21:5. What is God saying? And you can understand why there's some discomfort here. But it's pure, and we're releasing it. This is what God is saying through the prophet Ezekiel. And here's what we say in verse 5, that all flesh may know. You see, it's time for all flesh to know. Wouldn't you agree? That all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return anymore. In other words, the sword of war is going to remain in the land till the very end. Wars, rumors of wars. You're in a generation globally, war's not over, war's not ending. It's just beginning. It hasn't even made landfall yet. You're seeing the beginning, the foretaste, the forewinds of anarchy, civil disobedience, while they're throwing rocks and pipes and different things that the police are hiding and running. 47 police were wounded in Chicago. I mean, you're just seeing the beginning of what's coming, and it's not going to end. There will be wars to the very end. In the book of Daniel, we're told that wars are determined until the end. This is reality. We'll find that verse in just a little bit, but God is saying, you're going to know something about my sword. And I think, wow, Lord, what is your sword? What is God's sword? I know China's sword. I know America's sword. I know Russia's sword. I know the sword of North Korea. I know there's swords everywhere. But God's sword, God's weapon, God's axe, do you know what it is? Can I give you a clue? And I'm not saying this is it altogether, but let me just read a scripture to you, just in case you and I have forgotten this. And let's just read one more time out of Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And let me just read it to you, okay? And then we'll get back to the word here. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. Oh my goodness, have we done that in this country? And that write grievousness, which they have prescribed. That's legal. That's coming out of Supreme Court, right? 3 says this. What will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? He's talking to Israel again. This is Isaiah. This is prophet Isaiah speaking to Israel. To whom will you flee for help and where will you leave your glory? Americans, where are you going to flee? South America? Where are you going to flee to? Where are you going to run to? The only hiding place for God's people is Yeshua. And you can't be double-minded. You cannot be a hypocrite. You cannot be lukewarm. You can't be playing games with God to go and hide in him. I'm telling you, that's not going to work. He's a hiding place for the rigidly righteous. Believe that word, please. Remember the vision of the man going to a house with a light on, and he was discerned immediately to be a man of flesh that was playing games with God? I mean, his heart wasn't right. He wasn't permitted in the house. Jesus Christ is a hiding place and a refuge to those who love and honor and obey him, okay? But it says this in verse 5. This is Isaiah 10:5. I'm talking about the sword of the Lord, okay, in Ezekiel. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger, the staff, which is a weapon, in their hand, the Assyrian's hand, is my indignation. The Assyrian, the rod of my anger, the Assyrian was the Lord's rod of his anger. And they carried a weapon, and the weapon was God's indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation. America is a hypocritical nation, and it's falling apart. The seams that held the fabric of our society together are gone, hanging on by a thread. The sword's going to cut the thread, and it's going to be flying to the wind. Watch and see. It's already on the way. The Assyrians, the rod of my anger, the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge. Israel became the people of his wrath? Yes, on several occasions. I'll give him a charge to take the spoil, take the prey, and to tread them down in the mire of the streets. Now, I want to get back to Ezekiel 21, but this is reality. This is when we're talking in Ezekiel 21:5, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return anymore. Is he going to draw the sword like the Assyrian? Is he going to draw the caliphate? Is he going to draw Islam? Is he going to draw Iran? What's he going to do? Who is the sword? Well, it appears while the Bible interprets itself that if the Assyrian was the rod of his anger and the weapon in their hand was his indignation, that there's some tool, a cutting tool, that he's going to loose in this earth. It appears that it is going to be Russia, China, Iran, Islam, everything contrary. But who's he sending it against? He's sending it against the people of his wrath. Who was that? That was Israel in the prophecy. Who is it today? A lukewarm church that no longer witnesses or walks in the integrity of the gospel. A divided church, a silent church, a sleeping church, a people in this land that promote every wicked thing, that have their heart on the now, materialism, prosperity, money, all of that. They've twisted the gospel, perverted it. I again, I don't want to be critical. I'm just saying, understand Father God's heart here. Verse 6, Ezekiel 21, verse 6. This is the word. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, Ezekiel, sigh, with the breaking of your loins, with a broken heart, the breaking of your loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes. What does that actually mean? What is God saying, the breaking of your loins, the brokenness, the bitterness, sigh? Remember in Ezekiel chapter 9, when the six men with the slaughtering weapons are getting ready to go through the land and to smite the elders, the women, the children, the young men, all of it. They're ready to go with their slaughtering weapons, but they're told to wait until there was a seal upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are set in the land. They're not sighing and crying because there's problems. They're not sighing and crying because the economy is not working. They're not sighing and crying because they're sighing and crying because of the abominations that are committed in the land. God's telling prophet Ezekiel, sigh and cry before them with bitterness, sigh before their eyes. What did that look like, Ezekiel? What did that look like? Weeping prophet Jeremiah. Woe is me, I am undone, prophet Isaiah. While you men were sent to your own people, to your own nation, what did it look like to sigh in bitterness? What was it like? And how did all the nations see you? What was the metaphor? What was the parable? What are you saying? Well, verse 7. It shall be when they say unto you, this is what the nation's going to say, wherefore sighest thou? Why are you sighing? And let's just look at the word sigh, okay? I want to get that word sigh, 584. And here's what it actually means in the Hebrew. It's the anak, right? And the word anak means to groan and to mourn. It's a primitive root. It all means to groan, right? So they're going to ask him, why are you sighing? Why are you sighing? Prophets of God. Watch, here's the tone in America. Prophets of God, Dimitri Dudeman, David Wilkerson, all those prophets out there, why are you guys groaning and sighing and saying all this negativity and gloom and doom? What's your problem? Can't you see how good it is? They don't get it. Then you shall answer. You ready? Here's the reason why they're sighing and they're crying, they're groaning. Why? You shall say unto them, you shall answer for the tidings, because it comes. Listen to the words. This is Ezekiel 21:7. Because it comes, and every heart shall melt. And all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. Now that, my goodness, how many times do we need to read that and hear that? Here's the word of the Lord. This is what God is saying. When the people are saying, why are you shouting gloom and doom? Why are you groaning? Why are you sighing? Why are you in bitterness? What's your problem, prophets of God? What's your problem? Well, it's because of what Ezekiel's hearing. So Ezekiel's saying, I'm telling you why. It's because it's coming. What's coming? The sword is coming. It's coming, and every heart is going to melt. And all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. That's why. Because something's coming. It's coming. The sword is coming, saith the Lord. Wow. And shall be brought to pass. You are in the second wave, prophesied by prophet Michael Villarin, who gave his creative anointing about the waves of the four sword judgments of the Lord. He put it in perspective. Ezekiel prophesied four sword judgments. Brother Michael, put it in perspective from a surfing mindset about the waves. Now the whole world is talking about the waves. They weren't. They were talking about curves. They were talking about other. They weren't saying it. Because God will always direct the narrative when it's really him. He'll always put the narrative first. He's going to have his way. Okay, so now we're in the waves. We've seen coronavirus and all the white foamy stuff back there. We're now in the second wave, anarchy, civil disobedience. The prediction, the prophesying was by inspiration, the third wave will be the sword of war. It's forming while we're in the second. And here's verse 8. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened and also furbished. You want to cheat a little bit? Can I tell you what the sword is here? I'll tell you exactly who the sword is. In the passage, it literally tells us the sword was the king of Babylon. Okay, we'll get to that. You'll see it with your own eyes. You'll hear it with your own ears. The sword is the king of Babylon. In Isaiah, it was Assyria, the king of Babylon. God chose the king of Babylon to be the sword against his own people. Now watch. Prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened. Double. Verily, verily. And also furbished. Now, who's the sword today? Is it China? Russia? Because judgment begins in the house of God, Judeo-Christian America. Judgment begins in the house of God. Now, the word sharpened, I know we all understand what it is. It's the kadad. The kadad, and the word kadad simply means to be or to make fierce, severe. This is the Hebrew. The word sharpen is to make fierce, severe. So there is a fierce, severe sword that has been sharpened. Okay, this sword is fierce. And then it's also furbished. Now watch this. This is furbished. The word furbished there is the marat. The marat. And that word, and this is interesting, it means to polish the head. In other words, if you could imagine this spear, a spearhead, and the spear is polished, it means to make bald. In other words, to gall or to sharpen, to make bright, it is furbished. So here you have a furbished, polished sword. Now, what does the polishing literally mean? Do you know when a vessel is made, any kind of weapon, the last thing you do is you make it bright, you polish it. Okay? In other words, it's ready for use now. It's fierce and it's ready for use. Polished. They have perfected its preparation. Do you remember? Stay with me. Come on, stay with me. Do you remember when John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States, at a United Nations Council meeting in 1962, I believe it was, when he told the world that there was a nuclear sword, and he called it the nuclear sword of Damocles that was hanging over the throne of every ruler. Do you remember the old Italian playwright way back when they did this play about the sword of Damocles, when there was a man who was a servant and there was a king and he sat on his throne? And the servant always wanted to sit in that throne. Boy, what would it like to be sitting that throne? There you are, sir. You're sitting in the throne. You're the ruler of the province, and I'm your servant. But boy, what a desire to have an opportunity to sit in that throne. So the king came down off the throne and put him up there and said, go ahead and sit. And when the servant sat, he looked up and he noticed a sword was hanging over his head, and it was hanging by a horse's hair. And this was a playwright called the Sword of Damocles. John F. Kennedy used that term to talk about the nuclear sword that was hanging over the nations of the earth, and he was calling for disarmament. We have not disarmed, okay? The nuclear sword. Now, we're talking back here to a sword, the Lord's sword, the sword of the Lord, and he's telling them that he is, he said, to prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened and also furbished. It's fierce and it's ready to go. China, Russia, Islam, North Korea, who knows? Who knows who the sword of the Lord is? But watch in verse 10. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. Now, the word sore is the tabak, and the word tabak means a beast. Oh my gosh, something slaughtered, hence a beast, something butchered, okay? So it's going to make a sore slaughter. It is sharpened, I'm back in verse 10, to make a sore butchering, a slaughtering. It is furbished, it's polished, it's ready to go, that it may glitter. That it may glitter. In other words, shine. I mean, this thing is glittering, and that glittering sword is the Barak. What a name, right? The Barak. And the Barak means lightning. The sword is like lightning, a gleam, a flashing sword, a bright glittering sword. So the Lord's sword is like lightning. It is a glittering sword. It is bright, a flashing sword. This thing cuts. Remember the two angels in the Garden of Eden that they had their glittering swords protecting access to the tree of life? Well, this is the sword of the Lord. And then in verse 10, there's a question. He says, it is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished, it's polished, that it may glitter like lightning flash. It's going to be quick. It's going to be powerful. Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? So it's going to be this way. And then he asked this question, should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree. What a strange thing. Should we then make mirth, the sous? That means, should we be bright and cheerful, knowing what's coming? This is a tough one because I know that in Christ, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I know that in Christ, in God, there is a refuge. I believe in Psalm 91. That's what I told these guys last night. I said, you're afraid of all this. I believe in Psalm 91. And right there, I was being cautioned. Watch, you don't cast your pearls before swine and before the dogs. See, I do believe in it. I believe in that protection. I believe in the promises of God. I believe in it with all of my heart, as you do. And I know that in him, I could have peace and joy, not external, solical, emotional, cheerfulness, and giddiness like everything else. No, when times like these come, really, it's a call to repentance. It's a call to brokenness. And maybe we just don't get it yet. And maybe the reason why we haven't hit our knees a little bit more often, maybe why we haven't gathered together all night before the altar and prayed, maybe there are a lot of reasons. Maybe we just haven't felt the weight of this word. And if it's a true word, then the weight of it is going to get in somebody's heart. And you can't gather together in your churches, so you're going to have to go to your closet and you're going to have to pray and seek the Lord as to what do we do with this message? What do we do with this word? So he says, should we make cheerful and be giddy? No. Verse 11. Listen to this. Listen to this. He has given it, the sword, to be furbished. Listen, he has given it to be furbished that it may be handled. God is going to put his sword into someone's hand so that it may be furbished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened, and it is furbished to give it into the hand of the slayer. God is going to put his hand, his sword, into the hand of the slayer. The word slayer there in the Hebrew is the harag, the harag. And that word harag means one to smite with deadly intent, to smite with deadly intent, to destroy, to kill, to murder, to make slaughter. So God is putting his hand, or God is putting his sword into the hand of a slayer, of one who's going to kill, of one who's going to murder, one who's going to smite with deadly intent. He put his slaughtering weapon in the six men in Ezekiel chapter 9. Very tough word, right? And he says in verse 12, here's the prophet Ezekiel hearing God's words. He's speaking God's words. He says, cry, I don't blame, and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. It shall be upon my people. It shall be upon all the princes of Israel, or the Senate, the Congress, the judiciary, Supreme Court, all the judges of America. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite, therefore, upon your thigh. And you can just see Ezekiel smiting his thigh in agony, pounding his chest. Why? Because this sword is in the hand of a slayer. And it's literally God's giving it over to a slayer to come against his own people. What is that? Wait, God's not supposed to do that. Wait. God's not supposed to take his sword and slay his own people. We're the people of the Lord. We're the people of the book. We've got the temple, got our churches, we've got the Bible, we have our programs. Wait a second. You don't send a sword against us, God, even though we're lukewarm and compromised and unclean, even though we haven't fully repented. I mean, we're just kind of hanging out. You don't send a sword against us. We're good people. We believe, right? Right? That's what kind of goes on. Doesn't seem to matter to God. He said again, let me read it one more time. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. It shall be upon all the princes of Israel, America. Terrors by reason of the sword. People are getting worried. Every knee will melt with water. Every heart will melt. I mean, people are going to get terrified. You know what that word terrors means, by the way? The magar. And the word terrors there means literally to yield up. To yield up. The ghost. It means to cast down, precipitate. Going on. They are afraid, believe me. So all the princes of your terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon your thigh. Verse 13. Because is a trial. Wow. It's a trial. It sounds to me like what God said to the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. Because you have kept the word of my patience, even though you have a little strength, but because you've been faithful and have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which is a trial that shall come upon the whole world. You want to be kept from what's coming on this nation. You are faithful and you have kept the word of God. Because you have kept God's word, God will keep you. Okay? This is what he's saying. It is a trial. And that phrase there is the bakan in the Hebrew, and it means a test. To investigate, to examine, to prove. So what is coming is an investigation as to who's who. the righteous and the wicked are going to suffer in this punishment according to this prophetic word. But there will be those, a remnant, that will be kept. It's my hope, it's Patricia's hope, it's your hope, that we are living in such a way that we will be kept from the hour of examination, testing, and trial, proving that's coming on the whole world and it's coming upon our nation. We desire to be kept. Let's go on just a little bit further. We're not done. I know it's a heavy word, right? It's a burdensome word, isn't it? It's a trial, verse 13. And what if the sword contemn even the rod? It shall be no more, saith the Lord God. Again, phraseology is just talking about the rod of his anger, the sword of his of war. Verse 14. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy and smite your hands. Can you imagine? Smite your hands together and let the sword be doubled. Oh my gosh. Let it be doubled the third time. Let it be doubled the third time. The sword of the slain. It is the sword of the great men that are slain, which enters into their privy chambers. Wow. Let's look at it. Let the sword be doubled. That is the kafal. And it literally means to fold together, figuratively, repeat it. Repeat it. It's gone forth before, it's going to go forth again. It's gone forth before, it's going to go forth again. Remember, we've been declaring over these airwaves that the third wave will be the sword of war. Yesterday, when Pastor Dave was doing his thing, God was downloading in me this memory of Scripture. Of Ezekiel 21. We are reading through what God has told Ezekiel to speak to Israel, to Jerusalem. And all that's happening right now is Ezekiel is coming to the shores of America with Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all the rest, including Yeshua. And their words are being dropped, and they are speaking, and they are prophesying. And the time of their words to be fulfilled is at the door. It's right here. It's right now. That's where we're at. And their words go on. Listen to this, verse 15. Let me just take a sip of water here. My God. God said, I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that their heart may faint and their ruins be multiplied. Ah. It is made bright. It is wrapped up for the slaughter. What is this nuclear sword? What is this sword of murder and killing and slaying with the intent of killing? What is this? What's wrapped up? What's coming forth? What is this sword of the Lord that's going to multiply the ruin of our nation? What is this? Now, you know. Most people are saying, no, 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 no. God is saying, it's here. It's ready. It's wrapped up for the slaughter. Watch this. What does that mean? It's bright. Why the ah? It's like this, it's like an exclamation, like this sigh, like, just this emotion of, here it is. Is it the unveiling of a nuclear weapon? Is it a dirty bomb going off in major cities across the nation? That's been prophesied. 7 to 15 nuclear weapons being detonated in 7 to 15 major cities across the United States. Obviously, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the communists could care less about keeping our city streets clean. They are burning them. They are destroying them. They are graffitiing. They don't care about keeping the city streets of America clean. So a dirty bomb, a crockpot bomb, a nuclear weapon, that doesn't mean much. And if these are the foot soldiers, all they're doing is putting everything in place. It's distraction, distraction. God said, I have set the point of the sword against all their gates. against all their cities. That their heart may faint, their ruins be multiplied. Ah, it is made bright, it is wrapped up for the slaughter. Verse 16, go thee one way or other, either on the right hand or on the left, whithersoever thy face is set. Why? I will also, verse 17, smite my hands together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have said it. God is furious. God is furious with his own people because of what they have done, what they have allowed, the condition of their heart. He's furious. And you're saying, oh man, my God, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. It's an Old Testament prophet with an Old Testament word. But I'm going to show you in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, Peter, I'm going to show you Corinthians, that the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian believers, listen, what happened back there, you watch out. Don't do the same thing they did because it'll come upon you the same way because God doesn't change. This is nonsense. That's Old Testament. It's the prophetic word to an individual or a nation. Now, in verse 18, here comes the key. This is what I told you you would see. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, son of man, also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Raboth of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed. The sword is coming. And who's it given to? The king of Babylon. Verse 21, for the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. Remember, God chose the Assyrian. They're not holy people. The king of Babylon wasn't holy. They use all kinds of wizardry. And it says in Isaiah 10 that the Assyrian actually thought in his heart, look what I have done. He didn't know that God used him for his own purpose. So the king of Babylon is going to think he's wisdom and he's wise, but really all that's happening is God is allowing a more wicked nation to be used to come against his own people because we get the double judgment. Well, I'm going to let it sit right there. There's nothing more to say. That is the word of the Lord. That's what dropped and exploded in my spirit yesterday. It's out. It's coming. I can't imagine that somebody listening to this broadcast would refute what they just heard. That was so penetrating. That was so dipped in oil. It's coming. When is it going to come? I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. But the message was to warn. And we've been warning for a period of time now. The third wave. The sword of war. Yesterday. What will you do with what you just heard? Are you going to get into fear? You know what that means if you get into fear? You're not ready. You won't be hid. You may be righteous in the sense you believe in Jesus, but your belief hasn't dealt with fear. In fact, if you were genuinely, truly righteous, you would rejoice. You would rejoice. Like in Revelation 18, that the holy people and the prophets rejoiced at the fall of Babylon. We're not rejoicing for the massive bloodshed that's coming. We're not rejoicing at the 1,000 at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. We're not rejoicing in people's death and their eternal damnation. That's not it. But I know you've been out there warning people, right? Telling them, right? You've been controlling the narrative, right? Warning them. Yeah, I know you have. But in your spirit, you know it's the righteous judgment of God. But you need to know, like I need to know, Lord, how am I? How is my spirit? Where am I in my heart? Where am I? Am I okay? Will I be one of the righteous killed? Well, I hope not. But I know throughout the history of the world, the righteous have died. They will awaken in a resurrection. But if you're in fear by what you're hearing, then you're not ready. You're not ready. And I wouldn't be ready. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 8. And I just want to show you some New Testament. And then we're going to talk here for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." So timing for God. Now, there's a total prophetic reality to that, but it also shows that God's timing and our timing are not alike. And that's why we have to be careful about our timing things. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is the Father's heart. But even though it's his desire that all would come to repentance, "but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This could be equated to national disaster. In other words, the Lord comes suddenly, brings this sword. There's a great noise. The heavens pass away. In other words, in like Isaiah 47, they can no longer read the stars. They can't navigate anymore because there's a darkness that comes. Fervent heat, nuclear bombs, whatever it is, fires, melting. I mean, there it is. Suddenly, verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the way of life we've known, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" All holy conduct and godliness. What manner of people ought we to be right now? That's the real question. How are you in your conscience? How am I in my conscience? How is my heart towards the Lord? What is my heart looking at? Is it worldly? Is it carnal? Is it fleshly? Is it sensual? Where is my heart? I know that God has given an abundant life, a quality of life. He's enlarged my steps beneath me. God is good. He's a giver of good gifts. But I need to manage that properly, right? I can't allow my heart to go after the things of this world. I can't contemplate doing what is contrary to God. I am very aware of what offends him, right? I'm very aware of what offends God, because I've studied his word, and his Holy Spirit quickens me and prompts me and convicts me, right? I'm very aware. I'm walking very soberly, very cautiously, watching, right? That's how we are. So we need to be in all manner of conduct and godliness. We need to be right. And then we read these words in verse 12. "We are to be looking for and hurrying up." That's what the word hasting means. "We are to be looking for and hurrying up unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So while this is coming, the judgment, the wrath, 13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." I want to ask you a question. Does your heart long to live in a land wherein righteousness dwells? You don't have to lock your doors anymore. You don't have to close up your windows. You don't have to have your alarm systems, your security. A world where every person on the planet is your good neighbor, but they don't have wicked intent. They don't have evil. Can you imagine the earth having been cleansed of its evil and a new society of mankind coming forth eventually for 1,000 years in glorified bodies where everyone is a friend and a neighbor and a brother and a sister. Do you not long for that? Don't you want that in your home? Don't you want that at your church? Look how hard it's been to have peace and joy and friendship in our own homes. Look how difficult it's been to have peace and joy and camaraderie and love and friendship in our own churches. Brother has fought against brother. Son-in-laws against their father, sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughter-in-laws. Strife, contention, division, breaking. That's not the world we want. Husbands leaving their wives, wives leaving their husbands, children leaving their parents, getting off into drugs. Fathers walking out on their children. This is not the world we want. And the promise of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness is the reason why we want it to end. We want the glory of God. Do we not? Are we really satisfied living here? And just as long as I get to eat another meal, go to another restaurant, do you know, I'm still living because I'm so afraid of dying because I'm really unsure. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Now, he says this in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Here's your instruction today and mine, okay? Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Without spot and blameless. You and I must be diligent. And that word diligent, let's just put it right out there, in the Greek, that is the spoudazo. And that word spoudazo literally means to use speed, not chemicals, to use God speed, i.e. to make an effort to be prompt, to be earnest, to endeavor, to labor, to study. Come on. This greasy grace gospel got everybody lazy. But here the Apostle Peter says, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Where is peace going to be found? How are you going to be found in peace? You're not afraid. You're not carrying sin in your heart. You're not offended. You're at peace with God. Because the justification of the blood of Christ has cleansed your conscience. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5. You're at peace, and that you may be found of him in peace and without spot. True religion is what? To take care of widows and orphans and to be unspotted by the world. No spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes, unspotted and blameless. Be diligent, put effort into making sure with all that's going on that this is the conduct and condition of your heart, and I'll do the same. And account, verse 15, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's given time, but his sword is ready to be unsheathed. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. Praise God. Let's say hello to our friends right now on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody that's tuning in right now to Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if there's something God has spoken to you that you want to share, now is the time to share it on this Friday morning. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And when you dial 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad. I could hear someone saying, oh man, you got to loosen up. You got to lighten up. Believe me, I am loose and I am light. I have an abundant life. My wife and I are living a biblical blessing. We have joy. We have laughter. We have peace. God has blessed us. But to deliver a message like this And to continue the deep inward examination is always a sobering reality. It's always a sobering reality. I am going to take a call coming in immediately from 479-6366. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. A couple of things. We know that the word says that what we reap, we will sow. And regarding the judgment of God, we cannot sow. We cannot sow wickedness and not expect wicked results. I mean, we reap what we sow unto righteousness or unrighteousness. Secondly, regarding the bloodshed in the womb, the bloodshed outside of the womb, their blood is going to be avenged. And the fullness of that, what does that look like? In Revelation, I don't remember where it's at, but in Revelation, where it talks about the blood coming up to the horse's bridle, is that their blood being avenged? I don't know. I mean, it's worthy to study, but I'm just wondering, what does their blood avenged look like? We are seeing, to a degree, bloodshed outside of the womb, but where has the voice been for the unborn child? The child that's been destroyed in the womb, where has the voice been of the church to be their voice? In Proverbs 31, it clearly speaks about how we are to be a voice for, speak out for those that are appointed to destruction and the dumb. So where has the voice of the church been?
Yeah. Sleeping.
And
sleeping,
so,
sleeping,
yeah, sleeping. Very much, mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so, yes.
All right.
And so, thank you.
Yeah, it's an incredible comment. And so that would be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, quite frankly. And that's kind of the law of the land. It's the way things lay. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Vincent. It's Peggy.
Hello, Peggy. Good morning.
How are you? I just had a confirming to exactly what you were saying this morning. In prayer time, it's just been total weeping over the unrighteousness of what's going on in the land. And last evening, we just wanted something light, put on a musical, Camelot. And as I went through that, the Spirit was just showing me, and it came right to the end. And it said that's exactly where we were at, and they were about to go to war because righteousness had fallen apart. Going for right, there had been a son, Mordecai, that had come in and put all sorts of stirring up people because he wanted to be the king. And, you know, it had been a glorious kingdom, Camelot was, and they were reaping all wonderful things. Their life was glorious because they had laid down the sword. They were walking in righteousness, and it fell apart as the things started coming in. People wanting revenge. This Mordecai guy sowing discord because he wanted to be king, and at the very end, they were just going into war, where they had laid down their sword. And at that point, my spirit was just weeping because it was like, that's where we are at. We are right at that point of war because we have allowed all this to come in. We have walked away from righteousness. The laws of the land have turned to unrighteousness. And I just wanted to say, I just totally agree with the timing and all that the Lord is speaking to you.
Thank you for that confirmation, Peggy. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's going to go deep. It's going to cut deep. It's going to penetrate deep. And a lot of people are just going to turn their head away, their ears away. They don't want to hear this kind of conversation. I understand it, but it's not right. I think we need to look at it, and we need to see what God is saying. Thank you for the witness, and thank you for the confirmation. Amen. God bless you. All right. That's a great call coming from Pastor Peggy Wagner. She and Ken, pastor with us at New Wine Ministries. I want to say good morning right now while there's a quiet in the phone calls. Good morning to Cindy. God bless you. Looking forward to a haircut next week, and that's going to be a good day. I want to say good morning to Pastor Dave, is with us from South Dakota. God bless you, Pastor Dave. Remember, anybody want to call, speak into what we're saying, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. Good morning, Ian. God bless you, sir. Good morning. David is out there as well. So let's go a little further. Here's the comments that you all have been making. I want to say good morning to Victoria as well. God bless you, Pastor Dave and Victoria. Victoria says, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. What a great translation, Victoria. That was awesome. I appreciate that. That's for every saint of God. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, good morning, Pastor. Discernment will have to be utilized more and more. I agree, Pastor Kevin. Can't wait to talk with you next week. I'll be in touch with you before we get going. And then we have Sonia. Dear Sister Sonia, shalom to you and Miguel and all the friends down in Tyler, Texas. She says, praise the Lord for a new day that brings us closer to him. Shalom. Well, I agree. It certainly should. And then we have, again, from Victoria, these are very exciting days we live in, and I thank God our eyes are open to the truth. Thank you, Jesus. I am too, by the way, very thankful that we are open and hearing the truth. Good morning to Lena Gravina. Lena, good morning to you. God bless you. And once again, let's see. That's right, P. Preach it. Thank you, Pastor, speaking the truth. Ian Rude says, two men who have converted to Christianity in Israel have been sharing the gospel with everyone. A prominent Orthodox rabbi has come out and said that they just picked a fight with every Jew in the country and that their suffering will only be equal to that of the cursed one. Speaking of Jesus, all over the world, things are coming to a head. Truly unparalleled days that we are in. My God, I happen to just absolutely amazing. Donna Frazier says, thank you for speaking the unadulterated truth. We need to we need this to prepare our hearts and minds to expect the future events coming and be as ready as much as possible. You're right on, Donna. God bless you. And then we have Michelle Brown is saying hello. Good morning to you, Michelle. God bless you. Victoria writes in again, God gives us directions to what will come. They will hate everyone who is for Jesus. You're right on. Just like they hated him. They will call right wrong, wrong right in the end times. Thank God for the Holy Ghost to grant us discernment in these times. God bless and stay the course. Absolutely. Well said. Denny Sossaman is saying this morning, good morning, dear pastor, and all of our dear saints and friends. Thank you, PV, for declaring God's truth. You're welcome, Denny. God bless your heart. Carol Carey says, good morning, pastor. Greetings in the name of the Lord. By the way, good morning to you, Carol. Denny, where are you guys? I know you're out there enjoying some blessed time with your family, and a wedding is on the way. God bless you. Looking forward to see you back home, you and Sally. All right. So, Carol, by the way, remember, Virginia, we have the RV now. We're ready to go. Everybody out there, we're ready to go. We're on assignment waiting for your invitation to come out to your neck of the woods and share the word of the Lord. Okay. Now, and again, that's all about establishing home fellowships amongst your own people, showing you what God has revealed to us and maybe helping you and guiding you along the way just a little bit. All right. So we have Keith Carey. Good morning, Pastor Vincent, Carol Carey, and Sonia Miosh. Thank you. Thankful for the dolphin. Yes, I'm thankful for the dolphin as well. I'm going to show you guys pictures of it one day. When I learn how to do that on here, I'll show you what God gave to us, and you're going to rejoice. Keith Carey, men's group today, talking about leaven. Holy Spirit poked me about this. We battle not against flesh and blood. Our new man's thoughts are growing in Christ and are a thought from our old nature. I love the new man conversation. It's such a blessing. Diane Tumaneri is saying, good morning. God bless you, Diane, a true intercessor belonging to the Lord. What do you think about these days we're in right now? Boy, would I love to hear from you, Diane, what God has been revealing to you. Good morning to Georgia Estes. Good morning, Georgia. And Jesse Jernigan is saying, hello, Pastor. I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the blessing, Jesse. And thank you for your teaching. I receive your good seed and pray it takes root and grows abundantly in all who hear in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. Thank you. The word of the Lord, God's word. What is it intended to do? Get us afraid, nervous, off? No, it's meant to convict us, to investigate us, challenge us, but to make us as bold as lions. We've got to be that way in this day, in his strength, not our own. And then Sister Sonia says, thank you, Pastor, for keeping it real and for teaching hard truths. May we all remain sober and always abide in him. I thank you for that, my dear Sister Sonia. God bless your heart. All right, waiting for your call, your question, your comment. It's Friday. We've got about maybe 2 or 3 minutes left in the broadcast. We are going to be celebrating today. We're going to be celebrating a birthday today of a 60-year-old family member. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to be up at the Ark. I want to congratulate the men up on the Ark. I want to say thank you to Ian, Mike, Hector. Thank you, guys. They just put in a brand new air conditioner with fans. They're going to make the gathering place in the Ark so much better. Thank you, guys, for putting your hand to that plow and getting that work done. And so today, we're going to be celebrating that. I don't know where you stand today in your heart. There's a few people that have called in and chatted and said what they said in their heart. I'm done with my work today. Our life is right now preparing the body of Christ. That's our life. That's our assignment. We're wanting to go to where saints desire to gather together. We want to keep imparting. And right now, there are two branches that have just begun to show up in South Dakota and in Tyler, Texas. We're ready. Pray for us. We're praying for you. I want to leave you today. It's Friday. It's coming to the end of the month. Would you consider a donation to this ministry here at the end of the month as we're drawing near? Would you consider testing the system out, going to nwmglobal.org? That's going to be the gathering place, the rallying place, by the way. Our website, NWM Global, which stands for New Wine Ministry, nwmglobal.org. Would you consider going there to the donations tab and giving a gift to the ministry to pay for the bills, to become a support and a sponsor of our work? When we travel in the RV, it's going to take a lot of gas money. You know that. But you know what? It's going to be a lot less expensive than hotels and restaurants. If you just desire to be a part of the ministry, become part of it, all the fruit that is gathered in and developed as we go will be to your account as well. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So would you please consider a healthy, cheerful, liberal donation to this work? Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, YouTube, New Wine Ministry. Just send it to New Wine Ministry. If you're writing a check, you know what gold was up today? I don't know if anybody out there deals in gold and silver. Gold coins now are $1,900 an ounce. Somebody gave me some gold years ago. It was worth $280 an ounce. $1,900. Wish to God we had that again. If you have it, use it for the glory of God. It's his anyways. I'm going to say goodbye. Have a great weekend. Keep your head up. Even throughout today, through the weekend, just work with the Holy Spirit with what you heard today. Pray about it. Pray about it. We've released what we had. We're going to say goodbye for right now. Remember, right now on OmegaRadio.org, please let people know. And as Vinny Pots and Pans would say, subscribe. Make sure you hit the like button or the subscribe button. And let people know about OmegaRadio.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right now, there's a roundtable discussion. I'm going to say goodbye until we meet again. Shalom. And we'll see you on Tuesday. We'll see you Tuesday, Lord willing, with bells on. Until then, God bless.